Shalom to all. Today's office of Abbasar Daf Kuf Samas Ayin. We are starting about the third line with the words Amra Abaye. And today's office sponsor Lila Nishmas Marsh Merim Sar Abbasar Yaakov Moshe. Her neshama should have an aliyah. And the Gemara begins on discussing how a person can protect himself from a cheat, from a liar, from a conniving individual who wants to try to take money from him. Gemara tells us Amra Abaye says, "Haiman d'boy l'michli chasim is yadir beidina." A fellow needs to show his signature in Bezdin, and the reason why he would have to do this is, for example, a shtar needs a signature confirmed, but one aide had already died, and the surviving aide can't give testimony about his own and his friend's signatures, so he signs his name on a piece of paper, sends it to Beis Din, that takes care of his, and now he's free to testify about his friends. So this guy who has to show his signature in Beis Din, he shouldn't show it at the end of a piece of paper, meaning he shouldn't sign his name at the end of a blank piece of paper. Maybe somebody else is going to find that because of Damascus Bezuze, and then right there he owes him money. Let's say Reuven wrote his name on the bottom piece of paper, Reuven Ben Yaakov, and that's it. There's a whole blank paper above, and somebody else might find it and write, "I, the undersigned, owe Shimon $1 million. And here we have Reuven's signature underneath that. And how do we know this would be valid? Utanan Mishnah tells us, that if a person takes out ksav yad of somebody else, meaning he takes out a signed piece of paper that this guy signed off on owing him money, so he's allowed to collect from Nechirin. Therefore, when a person signs his name in order to show it to Bezin, he should make sure to do so at the top of the piece of paper so that there's no blank space above to be able to forge something. And we have a story about this. Ahupas Vina, there was a Jewish tax collector, and also Kamei Dabai came in front of Abai, and he had a great suggestion. Amrlei told Abai as follows, "I want you to show me your signature." Basically, he wanted Abai to sign on a piece of paper. Why is that? When rabbis come to me and they show me your signature that you signed off that they're Talmud Chacham and they don't have a lot of money, I'm going to let them go without having to pay the tax. In order for me to know that the document that they're showing me is your signature, it's not a forgery, I just want you to sign on this piece of paper over here and I'm going to keep it with me so that I can make sure that no one's trying to cheat me. And Abai started signing at the top of a piece of paper, and Hava Kunagid Bey, this tax collector, started pulling the piece of paper so that Abai would end up signing on the bottom. It was then that Abai realized that this guy was really just a cheat, and Amrlei told him, "Kvar kadamach rabbanon, the rabbanon already preceded you," meaning they already beat you to it, and that's why they said we should sign at the top of a piece of paper so as to avoid people like you who are going to try to take money falsely. On to another thing a person should be aware of, Amr Abai says, "Mitlas v'ad eser," from the number 3 all the way to the number 10, "loylich lebesayf shita," a cipher should make sure not to write that at the end of a line. He's writing some sort of document that has to do with numbers, maybe it's a loan document or something like that. He has to make sure not to write the number 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, or 10 at the end of a line. Why is that? Dol mazayf kasav, maybe somebody's going to forge something and write. What does that mean? So the numbers 3 through 10 all the same potential issue for someone dishonest to come along and add the letters Yud and Nun. Now the word Talas, which means 3, becomes Talasin, which is 30, and Arba, which is 4, becomes Arbayin, 40, so on and so forth. And therefore these numbers should not be written at the end of a line. Vis Ramile, if it did happen to be, then in the course of writing, the number just turned out at the end of the line and the cipher wasn't able to do anything about it. Nahadju Ludibure trained Talasa Zimni, he should repeat these words 2 or 3 times in the continuation of the Shtar, because Eafshar Dolem Vis Ramile Be'emsa Shita, it's impossible that they're not going to come out in the middle of the line somewhere. Then even if someone does forge it above where this number is at the end of the line, since later on in the shtar, the number will come up in the middle of the shtar, and as we learned previously, we follow what it says at the end of the shtar, not at the beginning, so then we're not going to have a problem. And now we have another story, Hudav Akasav Bey, there was a shtar that had the following written in it. Tilso Pardisa, a third of the pardes. Really, the shtar said, Beginta de Isli, in the garden that I have, Tilso Pardisa, you got a third of my pardes. Now what did the dishonest fellow do? Azal Machi Lagagi de Bez Vekare, he erased the top and bottom of the bays, Vishave Upardisa, and now he changed the word to being Upardisa, not Bipardisa, but Upardisa, meaning by erasing the roof and the base of the bays of Bipardisa, it became Avav, and now it's read as Beginta de Isli Tilsa, a third of my garden, Upardisa, and the entire orchard. And obviously that's a terrible forgery. However, Asla Kamed Abaye, this fellow, the shtar, came in front of Abaye, Amalei, he asked him, "My time of Ravichle Almol Haivav, why is it this Vav has so much space? Because when there's a bays, it's right next to the pay. But when you erase the top and bottom of the bays, leaving just Avav, so there's a lot of space in between the Vav and the Pei. And that's what Abai was asking him. Why so much space? Kafte, he tied the guy up. According to some, he even gave him Malkus. V'aydin, the guy admitted that he really forged it and he erased the top and bottom of the bays. And another story, Hudav Akasav Bey, there was a shtar that the following was written in it. Menas Reuven v'Shimon Ache, the portion of Reuven and Shimon who were brothers. Reuven and Shimon sold their portions to this other fellow, that the portions of Reuven and Shimon who are brothers, so on and so forth. Now, Havalhu Acha d'Shmei Ache. These brothers, Reuven and Shimon, had a brother whose name was Ache. Quite an interesting name, but that was his name. Now, Azal, the Baal Shtar went, Kasav Bey Vav, he added a Vav to right before the word Ache, Vishavya Ve'ache, and now he made it Ve'ache, which means that the Shtar reads, Menas Reuven Vishimon Ve'ache, the portions of Reuven, Shimon, and Ache, referring to the brother whose name was that. And over here also, Azal came to buy, the guy came to buy, Amarle, he asked him, "My time Dachakle Amalahai Vav Kulehai, why is it that it's so squished for this Vav? This Vav was stopped in there in between the words Vishimon and Ache, and there's something funny over here." And Kafte, he tied this guy up as well, Va'aydi, and the guy admitted that he put it in there. And one last story about about a forgery, there was a shtar that the signatories were Rava and Ravach Barada. It was brought in front of Rava. Amarle, he said, yes, this is true. It's my signature. It's just that I would never sign before Ravach Barada. He's much older than me, and I would never sign before him. But my signature is before him on this piece of paper. So there's something wrong over here. Kafte tied the guy up and admitted that he forged the signatures. Normally, Rava asked the fellow, I understand you were able to forge my signature. It's not so hard. But Ravach Barada, his hand shakes because he's old. How did you forge a signature? Amar, so the guy said, I put my hand on the bridge. Very often a river crossing consisted of just a plank of wood to walk across and rope to hold on to for balance. And that rope was very shaky. So the guy said, I put my hand on that rope and it was shaking, and that's how I signed the piece of paper. But Amrilon, some say, come Azarnuka Vakasav. He stood on a Azarnuka, which is like a bottle or a pitcher of sorts, and he was unstable and very shaky like that, and that's how he was able to forge it. And moving on to another Mishnah, we continue discussing shtaris, and here there are two points. One is that a shtar may only be written in the presence and with the acquiescence of the party which stands to lose. And number two is the one who stands to gain has to pay for the fee of writing it, meaning the cost of the cipher, the scribe. So the Mishnah tells us, Kaisen Gela Ish, Afal Pisha Inishta Imai. Here it's a Chiddush. The Mishnah is telling us that we're allowed to write a get for a man, even though his wife is not with him, even though the wife is the one that stands to lose, since he's able to divorce her against her will, so we can write a get for him, even though she's not there. We could write a receipt for a woman, even though her husband's not there. This is a receipt that she's going to give to her husband when he pays her the ksuba, and her husband doesn't need to be there. It's her that needs to be there. Now, the Mishnah says a cryptic line, which we're going to explain at the beginning of the Gemara, Ubavachem Hakiron, as long as they recognize them. Alas, if a Baal Nes and Schar, the husband, he has to pay for writing of both of these documents, both the get and the shiver. The shiver is because he stands to gain from it. He wants to get the receipt once he pays for the ksuba, so that's why he has to pay for the shiver, and the Gemara is going to explain why the husband has to pay for the get. The Mishnah continues, Kufzah Hosaino and Bez on top, Kaisun Shtar Lulav Alpha Pisha Ein Malva Imai. We could write a shtar for a borrower, even though the lender is not there. The borrower really hopes that he's going to be able to borrow from the lender, and therefore he has a shtar written up that I borrowed X amount of money from so-and-so, even though it didn't happen, and of course, that's to the detriment of the loiva if the malva gets a hold of it, so that's how we could write it for the loiva, even though the malva's not there. However, in Kaisun Lulav Alpha Pisha Ein Malva Imai, we can't write a shtar for the malva unless the loiva is there, and Valoiva Naisun Schar, the loiva, the borrower, he has to pay for the writing of the shtar because he's the one that's gaining over here. He's borrowing money. Furthermore, we could write a shtar for a seller, even though the buyer's not there. A guy who intends to sell his house or his field to somebody else could write that up in a shtar even before it happens. However, in Kaisun Lekech, Ache Meicher Imai, we can't write that for Lekech until the Meicher is there, because obviously the Meicher would lose if Lekech has a shtar saying that he bought the guy's house if he didn't actually buy it. And Valoikech Naisun Schar, the Lekech has to pay for the writing of the shtar because he's the one that's gaining due to the fact that he's buying the thing. Another din, when it comes to writing a shtar of erusin or nisuin, both of them have to be there. A shtar erusin is what the parents of the chasan and kala are signing of the different monetary obligations they're agreeing to, and a shtar nisuin is a ksuba, so both of them have to be there. But the chasan has to pay for it. Another din, both of them have to be there when they're writing a shtar of erusin or kablonos. Erusin is sharecropping. Reuven is going to be working in Shimon's field, and he's going to be paying Shimon either a half, third, or a quarter of the entire yield. Kablanus is very similar. Reuven's working in Shimon's field, but he just has to pay him a set amount of produce, let's say 10 bushels. And again, over here, both of them have to be there for the writing of the shtar. V'amakabel naisun schar, but the makabel, meaning the aris or the kabbalan, he's the one that has to pay the cipher's fee because he's the one that's gaining. In our last case, inkas and shtar biruin, v'chol maisa bezdin, el midas shnehen, we're now allowed to write shtar biruin, which the Gemara is going to explain what that is, or maisa bezdin, which is an official psak from bezdin, which often allows a person to take away money. For example, Reuven's owed money by Shimon. Shimon's not paying him, so bezdin writes a shtar for Reuven saying that he could go to Shimon and take away some of his properties. So both of them have to be there when it's being written. Ushneim nice and schar, both of them have to pay for it. Rashi Gamliel, he tells us shnehem, that's proper girsa, kaisun shnayim, both of them write too, meaning both edim that are being signing over here are actually going to sign off on two separate shtaris. Lazela atzmai, each person over here in regards to shtar beruin, everyone's going to get their own shtar, and it's not that there's one shtar and that's it. And the Gemara is going to explain what this is referring to as well. But now we discuss the first part of the Mishnah, and we ask the question, my ubavache makiron. What does it mean ubavache makiron? As long as they recognize them, we could write a get for a husband even though the wife is not there. We could write a shiver for a woman even though her husband's not there. Ubavache makiron. So Rav Yehuda Maravi explains, ubavache makir shem ho ish beget v'shem ho isha b'shiver. As long as they know the name of the man in the get and the name of the woman in the shiver. Imagine a guy comes into Beis Din and asks that a get be written for Shimon, who's divorcing his wife Leah. But this guy's name is Reuven, so he might take this get and give it to a Leah whom he knows whose husband is Shimon, and she's going to be able to collect her ksuba falsely. And the same thing with the woman. She walks into Beis Din asking that a shiver be written for Leah that she received her ksuba from Shimon. Now this lady's name isn't Leah at all. She's Rachel, and now she's going to give it to a man named Shimon whose wife is Leah, and now he has false proof that he paid the ksuba. Therefore, when a man walks into Beis Din to have a get written, or she walks into Beis Din to have a shiver written, we have to to know that his name is the one that's being written on the get, or that her name is the one that's being written on the shtar. Now we have a question on this. Yosef Rav Safra, Rav Acha Bar Huna, Rav Huna Bar Chenina, they were all sitting. V'yosef Abai Gabayu, Abai was sitting near them. V'yosef Yekam Abayu, they were sitting and asking the following question. Shema Ish Beget in Shema Ish Alai. By saying that we have to know that this man's name is being written in the get, that's mashma we don't have to know his wife's name. And by the same token, Shema Ish B'Shever in Shema Ish Lai. By saying that we have to know the woman's name that's being written in the shayfer, mashma we do not have to know the man's name. But we still have a problem. V'lechesh, why don't we suspect Dilma Kasav Gita, maybe we're going to write this get, V'azol Mati Leila Itza Deheich, and now he's going to go and give it to that guy's wife. Or by Zimnin, sometimes, Azla Kasva Isha Shayver, maybe the woman's going to have this receipt written for her, V'yavol Agavra Delav Dila, and she's going to give it to a man who's not her husband. In other words, even if we do confirm that this guy is Shimon, and we're writing a get with the name Shimon, maybe the woman's name is false. Maybe this guy Shimon who walked into Bezdin, his name is Leah, but he's having them write the name Rachel on the get, and he's still going to be able to give this get to a Rachel who's married to a Shimon, and she's going to collect her ksuba falsely. And again, it's the same exact thing by the Shaver. Even if we confirm the woman's name, she might tell us a man's name who's not the same name as her husband, and then she's going to go give the Shaver to that man whose wife happens to have the same name as hers, and once again, we still run into the same problem. So Amar Lo Abaye, Abaye spoke up and told them, Hachi Amar Rav, this is what Rav said, Shemo Ish Beget, Vuhu Adin L'Shemo Isha. Not only do we have to know the man's name that's being written in the get, we also have to confirm that this is his wife's name. And by the same token, Shemo Isha B'Shaver, Vuhu Adin L'Shemo Ish. Not only do we have to confirm that this is this woman's name that's being written in the Shaver, but we also have to confirm that this is her husband's name. But over here, once again, we have a question. Why don't we chayshesh that there's two Yosef ben Shimons in the same city? It doesn't have to be Yosef ben Shimons. That's just the example that we're using. And these two Yosef ben Shimons, their wives have the same names as well. And demo kasav gita, maybe one Yosef ben Shimon is going to have a get written for him, and now he's going to go give it to the other guy's wife. And so we still have the same issue. So Rav Acha Bar Huna told them, Hachim Rav, this is what Rav said, if there are two Yosef ben Shimons living in the same city, and Megashin is saying, they only allowed to divorce their wives if each one is in front of the other, and that's the only way we're able to protect ourselves from this problem. But we still have another question. Valechosh, why don't we suspect the following? Dilma Azal Masachrisa, maybe a guy is going to go to a totally different city, random guy, not Yosef ben Shimon. This guy's name is Ruvain, Umachzuk Leila Shmebi Yosef ben Shimon, and he's going to start calling himself Yosef ben Shimon in this other city where people don't know him, and then V'kasav Gita, he's going to have a get written for him. He's going to walk into Bezin and say, please write a get for me, and they know that his name's Yosef ben Shimon, so they're going to write Yosef ben Shimon's divorcing his wife Leah, and then Umati Leila Itzei Deheich, he's going to bring it to the other guy's wife, meaning he's going to go back to his original city and give his get to Yosef ben Shimon's wife, and obviously the whole thing's a fake and a fraud. So Rav Huna Bar Chinuna told them, Hachim Rav, this is what Rav said, Kol Shalchuk Shmai Be'ir Shleshim Yoim in Chayshin Lai. If a person has a chazak in a city for 30 days that this is his name, we don't have to suspect anything. Meaning, if for 30 days there's a guy living in a city calling himself Yosef ben Shimon, we don't have to suspect that's not his name. Because a person's not going to call himself a fake name for so long due to the fact he's afraid people are going to chap on that that's really not his name. So therefore, again, if for 30 days we've been calling a guy by a name and now he comes into Bezdin and he asks for us to write a get for him, we don't have to be chashed there's any foul play over here. What about if there's no chazaka? Let's say he wasn't there for 30 days and he comes into Bezdin asking us to write a get for him. What are we supposed to do? Amar Rabbi, so Rabbi says, they call him and he answers. In other words, they try to catch him off guard to see what name he responds to. And if he taka responds to Yosef ben Shimon, that means it's his name. But if he doesn't, then that means that he's really a faker and a fraud. However, Amar Zvid argues with Rabbi and says, if a guy's a swindler, he's a trickster, he's a cheat, he's going to be very careful with this thing that he's trying to trick everyone with, and therefore you're never going to catch him off guard because he's going to be extra careful. And I have a story about a shaver, about a receipt that a ksuba was paid. There was a shaver that one of the signatories was Rabbi Yirmiyahu Bar Abba, and this shaver was held by the husband that he already paid the ksuba, and Asal Kameh he itza, that woman came to him in front of Bezdin, Amrulay, she told him, Lavanavai, it's not me, I'm not this woman that the shaver is talking about. It's referring to a totally different woman, I was never paid my ksuba. So Amr Rabbi Yirmiyahu Abba told her as follows, I know Nami Amri Lahu, I also told them, meaning I told the other Edom that were signed with me, when you walked into Bezdin, I said as follows, Lav Ihi, it's not her. It's a totally different woman. She's not the one that I signed the shaver for. From Lee, they told me, Mekeshu the Kashala, she actually got older, Ubagar la Kala, and her voice got more mature, it got deeper, it changed, and that's why you think it's not her, but it really is her. As to stop trying to trick us, Mrs. Woman, and Amar Abai said, Afagav to Amar Abanan, even though the Rabbanan said, Kovsam Chasam Ralph on top, Kim Shehigid, Shuvin Chazar Magid, that once a person gives a Haggadah's Eidos, once he states his opinion, he can't go back and say something different. And over here, it seems to be that Rabbi Rabba did exactly that. He told the woman, I told him originally that it's not you, and now I'm saying that it is you. So I was able to be chazer from that. It's not a problem. So from Rabbanon, we're dealing with a Talmud Chacham, like Rabbi Rabba, Lav Urchel Medik, it's not the norm for him to be Medayik and know how a woman looks. So it makes sense that a Talmud Chacham, like Rabbi Rabba, is not going to recognize his woman from back when he signed the shtar for her. And the fact that he says, oh, this is not the woman, doesn't mean anything. He just simply didn't recognize her because he's careful with his eyes, and so he doesn't recognize her. And now that they tell him, no, it really is her, she just changed, it's not a problem of going back on what what he said. And someone started, Utavra, there was a shaver, this receipt that the ksuba was paid, that had a Rima Abba signed on it, and Amrulay, she told him, Lavanavai, it's not me, it's a totally different woman. And Amrulay told her, Ivra Antaves, yes, it is you, I know for sure it is you, stop trying to lie. And Amr Abaye commented on this as well, Lav Urchel Medek, even though it's not common for a Tzumra Abanon, Tamar Chacham, to Medek know how a woman looks, so how is it that Rabbi Yirmiyahu Bar Abba is able to say, no, I know for sure it is you, Kivin the duck, duck. Once a Tamar Chacham says, I know for sure that it is her, so then we could trust him. And one last thing about this, Amr Abaye says, Hi Tzumra Abanon, the Azal Gdusha Itza, if a Tamar Chacham is going to be Mekadosh a woman, Nidbar Am Arts Badei, he should take an Am Arts along with him. Maybe they're going to switch her out from him. Remember, back in the day, Kiddushin and Nisuin took place quite a time apart from each other, and therefore we're afraid that if he's going to go and Mekadosh a woman, he's obviously going to look at her because that's halacha. You have to know how the woman looks. But way later on, when he's marrying her, he's not going to remember because not like he was paying so much attention to how this future wife of his looks, and therefore they might switch her out for a totally different woman. That's why when he's going to Mekadosh her, he should take an Amma Arts with him. And Amma Arts is somebody who's not careful with Shmir Seinaim, and he'll pay attention to how the woman looks. And later on by the Chasana, that Amma Arts will make sure that it's the same woman, it's not a different one. We're going to stop here for the day and pick up tomorrow and continue to explain the Mishnah. For now, everyone should have a wonderful day.